So some thoughts on that passage from Colossians. Just a short section today. But actually, when you start looking at it, there is quite a lot in there that we could get our teeth into. It's not quite as controversial as last week's passage, but it does focus our thoughts today on prayer. I don't think that any Christian will dispute the value of prayer. But yet it is the one area of Christian life that continues to cause great concern. Many people feel inadequate to pray. Many people feel they do not have the skills to pray. Many people feel that they can only pray in certain ways, or they can only pray using certain words, or only in a certain position. There is nothing new about this. This has been going on since the beginning of time. Even the disciples had to ask Jesus how to pray. The disciples, Jesus' 12 close buddies, the ones that were learning from him. If you remember in Matthew and Luke's gospel where it's recorded, they asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus replies with the words that form the Lord's Prayer that we still use today. A basic, straightforward, simple prayer. But even before God sent Jesus, people were still struggling with prayer. There's many, many times you can pick out through the Old Testament, and you'll probably have your favourites. One of mine is about in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah prays for rain and he expects an instant answer. Don't get it. He had to wait 7 days for this answer to prayer. He'd had his encounter with the prophets of Baal just before, and God had shown his true power. And then Elijah prays for 7 days before the small rain cloud is seen on the horizon. There is no right or wrong way to pray. But we all can do it. The Christian bookshops are full of books on prayer. You can have prayer on any subject you like. For those that struggle or don't want to have huge books, you can get little prayer cards. We have a selection here that they're free. Please take them. It says what they're looking for. If you're looking for God, there's a short little prayer about that. If you're looking for peace, there's a short prayer here about it. If you want to be thankful, again, there's a short prayer. It's all done for you. The work's all done for you. That's all you need to do. Come and have a look. Take some. We're happy for them to be used up, and then we can refill them. You can give these out to other people as you need to. But this section that we're looking at today focuses our minds specifically on prayer. And if you look in a lot of Paul's letters, when he comes towards the end of his teaching, he does tend to drop in to prayers. When I was thinking about this over the last week or so, it struck me that this could drop into three different sections. So for those of you that have done your preacher training for sermons, you know that if you've got 3 points in a sermon, it's got to be a good sermon, hasn't it? Well, if you've got 3 points anyway, that's what they say. I think the three sections that this could drop into quite nicely are ask, seek, and knock. And you may remember that is recorded as part of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And those who knock, the door will be opened. If you're not quite sure, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. So let's see how my thoughts with God have gone this week with these three sections, ask, seek and knock. Ask is your first section. Paul asks for prayer for himself and his fellow missionaries in verses 3 and 4. Pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Straightforward, simple instructions. Paul knows that he needs prayer. I know from personal experience that when you go out on missionary work, when you're being part of a team, when you're part of a church, you need prayer for all the work that you do. In the past, I was part of a movement called the Lay Witness Movement, where we went out as teams into different churches, spent a weekend with church to get them to look at themselves, both as a church and personally, where they were with God, and was it time to move forward. And the whole process, which took about 6 months from the date the weekend was decided to actually happening, was surrounded in prayer. We as team members were encouraged to pray regularly for the church that we were going to, and our fellow team members and the leaders. The Lay Witness Movement had a team of prayer people, a prayer team. They didn't necessarily go out to the churches, but they devoted themselves to praying for that church, that team, in their preparations at the weekend, and equally important, after the weekend. And then the church we went to, they were encouraged to set up a team as well, to have regular prayer meetings. The churches that did that, the weekends were filled with God, and it helped the church, it helped people in that church move forward. Churches that continually afterwards would continue to meet in prayer on a regular basis. This is what we've been doing at Standground for years. For years we've been meeting together to pray. For a while it was just on the Sunday morning before the All Age or Cafe worship. We'd have half an hour of prayer. In more recent times we moved it to a Tuesday evening and had once a month where we'd come together and pray for an hour for wherever God led us. And then as we moved forward to next steps, weekend this year, we decided as a church that we needed to have two prayer meetings a month, and that is continuing. And in fact, just in case you've forgotten from the notice sheet, this Tuesday coming is our next one. All are welcome. Come round to the side door, come in, have an hour of prayer. You don't have to say anything out loud if you don't want to. Just be part of the church. If you can't physically get here, you can do it at home as well. We ask God for things to happen in church, in personal life. This is what Paul was asking for here in this passage, isn't it? He's asking that he's been given the opportunities that he can witness to God in his circumstances. And you'll remember, he's not a free man. He's either in prison or under house arrest. There's a dispute amongst the scholars as to which is actually happening at that time. But he is praying in his circumstances that he can be used for whatever God needs him to do. But he also asks that he can speak with clear mind and clear words that people will understand. And he also knows that that's his mission from God, to speak about God. But he knows very importantly that unless it's surrounded with prayer, it's not going to be as effective. He knows he can't do it with his, and his team cannot do their work without the support of prayer. The second section is seek. In verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Paul in these verses is being a bit radical, which is quite unusual for Paul, isn't it? He's not often radical. Or is he? Yes, he is, because he stirs things up. He needs to. He's encouraging people, his readers, his listeners, to treat everyone with respect, regardless of their status in society, regardless of their skin colour. Treat them with respect. Treat them as you want to be treated yourself. And remember, in that time, there were a lot of people that were not treated fairly. They were treated as dirt. Paul says, no, you should treat them wisely, fairly, equally. And he also asks that God will give wisdom to answer people's questions. This is another area in Christian life that causes great problems, isn't it? We can't speak about God because we don't know the answers. They're going to ask me the most obscure question ever, like in whatever verse of the Bible, why does it say this particular word in that particular translation? That's what some people build it up to. Paul is asking for wisdom, not only for himself, but for the early church here. Speak the answers you need to speak to. But I have to say that we don't always get answers. I might have told you this story before, but it feels relevant to this thought. A while ago, when I was at another church, the churches had a mission of a team of clowns that came into the area, and we did an event in the Cathedral Square in Peterborough on Sunday afternoon, where you got the clowns wandering around in Cathedral Square being clowns, but also having times of Christian conversations as well. It was in the days when they had the flower beds and the seats around the side of the flower beds. So you can guess it's sort of 20, 30 years ago. And I was sat on the seat because we were asked as the churches in the area to come and just be there and pray and sit and support. And I was sat there, and this man came and sat next to me and started asking questions. They're good, aren't they? What are they doing that for? What? And for a change, and it was a change, I could not actually find anything to say. And that is a rare occurrence. But I could not find anything to say. So I thought, right, I must get help. I'll get one of the clowns to come over, one of the team members to come over. I'll catch their eye, they'll come over discreetly. They wouldn't flipping look my way, would they? And for sort of 10 minutes, I was getting more and more frustrated because I could not answer this person. He had some questions, genuine questions. He had a need. And I wasn't given any answers. And after a while, he disappeared off. I carried on, stayed to the end of the event, and went away, went home. And I'll be honest with you, when I left that event, I felt quite deflated because I felt I had failed. Because I'd been given an opportunity, I felt, to speak to that gentleman. And I couldn't. In the evening, we went to one of the churches in the area, Dogsthorpe, and we had a celebration service with a team. And the team leader said, as part of his summing up, he said, "Oh, this afternoon I had a wonderful conversation with a gentleman. He came to me at the end and was talking to me. We sat and chatted for 20 minutes or however long it was. And I'm fairly certain that that gentleman he talked to was the one that was sat next to me. What that taught me was that I wasn't the right person to speak to that gentleman for whatever reason. It wasn't right for me to speak. The other person, the team leader in that case, needed to speak to them." That was actually God using his wisdom with me being silly enough not to realize at the time. But he did use someone to speak to that gentleman. This is what Paul is asking for, isn't it? Wisdom to speak the right answers. There are many other times when I've spoken situations and then I've been told afterwards by other people that that has helped that particular person or group of people I've been speaking to. God has blessed the conversations. Using God's wisdom sometimes means we actually have to be quiet. Other times we use God, and God uses us as a vessel to encourage others. This is what Paul is saying. Have the wisdom to let me be used. We have a great opportunity as a Christian community coming up in the next few weeks as we approach this wonderful season of Christmas. As many people get caught up in the wonderful commercialism of it to make sure that they can have the biggest turkey, the biggest Christmas pudding, the biggest Christmas tree, the biggest whatever. We have an opportunity to remind people with a proper reason that we're celebrating Christmas. I ask that God gives each one of us at least one opportunity to say why we celebrate Christmas. That's seeking opportunities. That was what Paul was asking for, seeking opportunities through prayer. And the third is knock. Well, really all of these fit into knock, aren't they? Knocking on a door, knocking on somebody's heart. Paul asks that doors will be opened for him, that the people reading this letter, that they will be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ. That simple mystery of Christ, but the one that confuses everybody. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That is a Christian faith. And Paul is asking for opportunities that he can knock on people's hearts and give that message. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That makes a difference in our lives, in Paul's life, in everybody's life. Paul encourages people to take every opportunity that comes their way to speak about God. Knock and the door will be opened. Knock on people's hearts and the door will be opened. Share from your own personal experiences, and then that will help get along. As I was thinking about this even more, verse 2 jumps out at me, which in the NIV version that I use says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." This is a challenge to us as individuals and a church to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. As I've said, we here have increased our prayer life as a church. And we are seeing the fruits of it. We aren't complete. We're just seeing the fruits of where we've got to at the moment. Coming together corporately on a regular basis is making a difference to this church. Any church that grows is one that has got a good prayer life. But there's also a challenge about our own personal prayer life as well, isn't there? To increase our prayer life. In our Bible study group many years ago, Sue, who was leading at the time, challenged us to spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. Try and take 10 minutes out a day to pray. This I struggle with. My life is busy. Busy doing this, and the other occasionally. And I have to admit to you that I often forget to make time for prayer. Maybe some of you have this situation as well. I quite often forget in the morning, particularly Monday to Friday, when I'm racing to get out to go to work to do the minibus driving. And I can find myself driving towards the depot thinking, whoops, sorry God, I forgot to say good morning. Simple things like that can make a difference. When we get a prayer chain come through, those of us that are on the prayer chain, if you're not part of the prayer chain, speak to Andrew or Jenny and they'll sort it. Prayer chain is where people use mobile phones and we'll send a message to you where somebody's got a need or a request and an answer to prayer. And if we read that message and just say, thank you God, or please God help that situation, that is answering to prayer. God always wants to listen to us. As we said earlier, we're thankful that God wants to listen to us. God is always available. 24/7, 365 days a year. He doesn't take a holiday. He doesn't take a tea break. He doesn't say, I can't talk to you now because there's something on TV. He's always there, ready for us, listening. Nothing is ever engaged. We can always get through to him. We need to make time as individuals daily to pray. And if we can, to try and be still and listen to God. To be still is very hard. Society doesn't like us being still. Society doesn't like us being quiet. God needs us to be still and quiet. Remember Jesus, when he was here on his earth for his 3.5 years of ministry, he regularly took time out to pray. Now, if God's Son needed to take time out to pray, how much more do we need to take time out to pray? I challenge us, all of us, this week to think about our prayer life. To think about the amount of time we're able to devote to God in prayer. Is there more time that we can devote to God in prayer? I want to leave you with a few paragraphs from a meditation that we used as part of the lay witness movement, which was on the Saturday morning section, which focused on prayer. I just want to read one or two paragraphs and then we'll have a moment of quiet. Prayer brings me into contact with God. What a glorious thought that I can come to God, talk with God, experience his power. Why have I have not given more time and thought to this adventure with you? I will never be able to explain. O Christ, as you stand in our midst, your presence reminds me of the great amount of time that you gave to prayer when you were among us in the flesh. when I recalled you spent all night in prayer, that you prayed before every decision, that you showed constant dependence on prayer. How ashamed I feel when I look at my life. One so strong depends on prayer, and yet I, so weak, seldom pray. As your early followers asked, Lord, will you teach me to pray? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that in the coming week that you will help us to be able to spend more time in prayer with you, that we'll be able to focus our thoughts on you, that we'll be able to say, thank you, please help me. And Lord, will you give us opportunities this week that we can tell someone about you and how special you are to us. Give us the courage, wisdom, strength to dare that you can guide us, teach us, and help us. For we ask this in your name. Amen. As we prepare for our time of communion, we're going to sing seated, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'll turn my eyes upon Jesus. Look for